The Holy Gospel is from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, alleluia, Christ is risen. Now, many in our world don't know anything about Jesus' empty cross and empty grave. Many, many, many in North Texas don't understand what it's like to be rescued from the curse of God's law that says poor performance, poor performance, poor performance, and what it means to live in the freedom of his love and forgiveness. They don't know what it means that in that forgiveness they can look back at the law and say, "I know I'm in favor with God and he loves and forgives me, so I can look at the Ten Commandments and think to myself, I want to be a better this, that, and another thing. But I've already got God's favor, so I don't have to earn anything by what I'm doing." Not everybody understands that, what we call the rhythm of faith in your life and my life, since we were baptized long ago and have grown in our understanding of who and what God is and our own identity as sinners saved by the merits of Jesus. So what are we doing here anyway? We should go out and save the world. Right? You know, I've gotten the feeling sometimes in my ministry that I have to face from time to time what I call mission Nazis. I mean, it's all about mission, all about mission. And it becomes so much about mission that it's not about taking care of the church. It's just, you got to be a better missionary. And why aren't we doing more mission work? And after a while you think, well, don't you care about me? Don't you care about us? And people who encounter mission Nazis that are always about talking about the people swept into eternity without a knowledge of Jesus, you start wondering, well, how do they care about the people who are saved already? Or are they just beating them up saying, you better go out and do a better job? See, Jesus solves it today. He helps us understand what it's about. Certainly, it's about the Missio Dei, the mission of God, coming to a world lost and afraid and filled with guilt and rescuing people from the wrath of God. Certainly, that's the point. But how does he do it? It's fascinating. Our gospel reading today, let it just blow your mind. I mean, how does mission work? How do we put together a good mission program? It's simple. It's by loving each other. Jesus says it this way, "A new command I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." So, what's the plan for mission? Let's love each other. I mean, when a congregation is learning how to love each other, the community starts noticing. They notice it in all kinds of different ways. Of course, we have to do a little discussion about what is love. So if we're to love each other, what is love? Is love pushing each other around with our strong opinions and not listening to each other? Oh, the church can do that. By this, all will know you are my disciples if you push each other around with your words. No, that's not the way the passage goes, right? We live in a culture right now where a lot of people think about love in a lot of ways. If you do this, I'll love you. Oh, if you really love me, you'd do this. Look at all the stuff I do for you. Can't you do some stuff for me? You know, just like there's fake news, there's fake love. And it's just the old-fashioned manipulation, control. It's playing the games and the angles. That's not love. That's not love. And it could be that in your life and my life, we have people who really think they're loving, but what they're doing is just controlling. And that's not love. That's not love. So what is love? How do you define love? If we're having a hard time in our culture understanding what the real thing is, look, in the Greek, there's like different words for love. There's phileo, kind of I like you, but you know, how many of you really phileo the Cowboys? You know, you like them. You don't really love them, but you like them. Some of you do love them. I mean, they'll lose all their games and you still, man, there's no one like the Cowboys, right? And some of you you like the word hedony. How many of you love beer too much? Okay, all right, maybe you're repenting a little bit. Or love pizza more than anyone else in your family and you're killing them because you always wanted to have pizza. You know, the word hedony is hedonism. You know, you can like too much of life for your own good. I think I liked muscle cars way too much when I was younger. And then I sold them all. Then there's eros, which is a strong kind of mother-papa bear kind of love, which can, you don't mess with my kids. Or it's a strong controlling parental love where it really makes it hard for kids to grow up because mother bear is mother bear and papa bear is the same and the kids aren't allowed to do anything without, you know, a lot of strong eros kind of love, which just drives the kids eventually away. And so those are loves, phileo, eros, hedony, and then there's agape. And agape is supernatural kind of love. And that's the kind of love that Jesus wants us to have for each other. And the best way to find out what that kind of love is just to look at how it's defined. So Paul does a great job in 1 Corinthians 13. Let's read it together. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It is not insistent on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. And we'll stop there. That's the kind of love that Jesus wants us to have for each other. Frankly, that's the kind of love you need from a pastor. I mean, you didn't say that in the call documents, but that's really what you're asking me to do. Love us, Pastor Stace, with agape. And of course, pastors need this kind of love from the congregation. Because pastors are just people too. Amen? And so if we love each other this way, then the whole world will see. That's our mission plan. The plan? Love. Like this. But here's where it gets into a challenge. Because if you look at it, love is long-suffering and helpful. That's the way you can translate that. Have you already always been patient with me? Have I always been patient with you? Gosh. So we got to work on that. Amen. How about helpful? I'm sure sometimes I'm not helpful at all. And, well, can you always be helpful to one another? No. So there's some room for improvement, right? Let's just go through it. Does not envy. Let's other people take the spotlight or boast. Look at all the stuff I've done. Is not arrogant or rude. Does not insist on its own way. Is not irritable. I've ever seen grumpy pastor. Has pastor ever seen grumpy members of St. Paul? You know, this is the kind of love little kids need, right? When they're growing up and they're making mistakes and they're spilling the milk. And this is the kind of love that newlywed couples start learning. This is really important to do because I had no idea how selfish I was until I got married. And this is the kind of love that people that don't have it all figured out need to share with each other, because sometimes life is really hard. Really hard. But it's not easy to give this kind of love. It doesn't rejoice at wrongdoings, rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things. Sometimes don't you just want to give up? Gosh, it's tempting. Why try? Why work on this relationship or that issue? Why do I even try to do it? I mean, that's where we end up getting sometimes, and we think to ourselves, hardly is my attitude an attitude of love. Love never fails. I like the translation that ends, you know, love never fails. That's the kind of love I need from my wife and my kids. That's the kind of love they need from me. And now at this place in the message, I want to say, Lord, have mercy. Because I'm not very good at this kind of love. In fact, none of us are very good at this kind of love. And that's the truth. But here's the good news. Here's the good news. This is the kind of love that God has for you. And this is the kind of love that God is growing us in. But this is the kind of love we have been given by God all along. Look at it this way. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. You know, God equals love. Love equals God. So who is patient? Who is kind? Who bears all things? Believes all things? Who never fails you? Who never fails me? God. Boy, that's good news. And that's the kind of love we've been receiving from God all of our lives, ever since we first started believing in what God has done. That's the kind of love that Deborah Jehosh is confirming today. She's living in that truth. And every one of us, the same. How does it go? Look at verse 9. In this, the love of God was manifested among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Wow, that's a mouthful. Propitiation. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us, sent his Son on a mission of love to embrace us in love. Jesus is the propitiation. It's a fancy theological word. It means that he's taken your place, so that you can be the object of God's love. That for his sake now, God loves you. You know, we look at each other and we think, boy, a work in progress. We look at ourselves and we say, man, will I ever have some victory in this or that or the other thing? We realize how broken we can be. And yet, in God's sight, you and I are perfect in Christ, perfectly loved. God no longer holds anything against you and me. And it's in that freedom that we are learning what it means to love sacrificially. We are learning what it means to love in helpful ways the people around us. And for us to reach out the world that's not believing in North Texas, it's about learning to love each other in ways that grow each other. That's really what this congregation is about. It's about love. It's about growing in what it means to love each other. You know, real love doesn't always agree, but shakes hands and lives with forgiveness. Real love works on things until we can finally solve them and figure those things out. That's what real love is. And real love is understanding that we all need a Savior, and we all have a Savior, and his love for us is perfect. Growing in love means we're learning more and more about not only God's love, but what he loves and what he wants us to focus our lives on. And we learn about that as we study God's word. That's what real love is. And God is real love. God is real love. And his love is changing your life and my life. We're growing up in love and what that means. In fact, you could say, you know, what's St. Paul Lutheran Church about? It's about love. We're learning how to love each other. It's kind of fun to do. We've done this every once in a while. But St. Paul Lutheran Church, I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. And you can just say, amen. Okay, you know, just receive it. And, you know, we'll work on that relationship of love, okay? It won't always be easy, right? Pastor Stace doesn't see what I see and so forth and so on. But now here's the challenge. I want you to turn to someone and say, I love you and there's nothing you can do about it. And I want you to receive it. You know, one of the big challenges is that it's hard to receive love, right? You know, and you know, it's a fun little exercise, but you know, the rubber hits the road when someone sits in your pew or parks where you usually park or, you know, has something in a meeting that just makes you kind of sideways in your heart and mind. You go, oh, that hurt. You know, how what needs to be applied there? Love. And maybe it's a love enough to say, let's talk about this. Or maybe it's a love enough to say, I forgive. Or it's a love enough to say, I'm just going to pray about that. But you know, love makes all the difference in the world. Not my words, Jesus' words. Jesus says, by this, all will know you are my disciples if you have love for each other. You know, the interesting thing about this, and I alluded to it in Deborah Jahasha's confirmation, this school of love that God has enrolled us in from the time we were baptized, there is no graduation from it. There is no graduation. You and I are in the school of missional and ministry love all the days we're alive. And even after we're transported to the shores of forever, it's interesting how in the Bible we hear how their works will follow them. In other words, there are going to be testimonies of your love that will continue after you're gone, in the hearts and the minds of the people that you've loved. Today, between services, we said goodbye to LaVon Dolliver. She's been the organist here for 34 years. She's moving to Ohio with her family. And it was fun to say, well, you know, you've been a part of the St. Paul family for a long time, but even though you move, you're still a part of us because memories will continue. And what a gift it is to know that your life and my life is a mission of love to those who do not know Jesus, and it's a ministry of love to those who need to be encouraged in the way of faith, hope, and love. So love each other. And by it, the people of North Texas will know you are the Lord's disciples. In the name of Jesus, amen.